الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب العرايا وغير ذلك، باب العرايا وغير ذلك وغير ذلك. The chapter with regards to العرايا and other than that and other than that. The chapter with regards to al-araya and other than that. Al-araya is a type of transaction that is from the transaction of muzabana that has preceded. And initially it is something that is forbidden, as we have seen, the transaction of al-muzabana to sell the fresh crops and fruits which are in the trees for the same type of fruits or crops that are dry, and he weighed that this is considered forbidden. And we have seen the evidences with regards to that in a number of issues as well related to the affair of al-muzabana wal-muhaqala, and which was also from the same prohibition. Here we have an exception to the rule. Here we have an exception to the rule, the impermissibility of al-muzabana, and it's called al-araya. And the word al-araya is the plural of ariya. The word al-araya is the plural of ariya, of ariya, which comes from the verb ariya. Ariya ya'ra uriyan. Ariya ya'ra uriyan. If a person is bare, stripped of something, or stripped of clothing, for example, is considered, then that's the meaning of this verb. You say a person who is stripped of his clothing, that he's uriyan. Uriyan. Adiya ya'ra. Adiya ya'ra. Uriyan. Someone who's stripped of something. Someone who's stripped of something. And he had uryu hul khulu. Hul khulu. And from here, likewise, the word adiya. Al-Aliya, which is considered a loan, a qard, which is called Al-Aliya, Aliyatan, لخلوها من العوض, لخلوها عن العوض, because there's no exchange for it. Somebody who gives a loan, he's not getting anything in exchange, so it's free and void of any exchange. So it's called Aliya, a loan from the same root. So what is intended here? Al-Ariya is a tree that has been specified from the rest of the plant, from the rest of the trees in the garden, and it's exempted in the ruling. The owner of an orchard, he will sell the dates, the moist dates of a tree from his trees in his orchard for dry dates, which initially we have seen is al-muzabana, and this is forbidden. But under certain circumstances and in accordance to the legislative conditions, it will be permissible. So it's considered ariya in this sense. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned because the tree will be stripped from its fruits. And the rest of the trees, they'll be left alone. And as for this tree, it will be stripped from its fruits and sold to this individual. Also others, they mentioned that this particular tree has been specified from the rest of the trees as well. And for this particular issue, and for the fact that the owner of the tree has specified the fruits of this tree for an individual as a gift, and to allow him to eat from them in exchange for these dry dates of the equivalent amount, of the estimated equivalent amount. Others, they mentioned that this term here, ariya, is because the ruling of this particular issue is exempted from the original prohibition, so it's free from the prohibition and safe from the aspect that is forbidden. In any case, this is the chapter of al-araya, and that's the plural of ariya. And this is whenever a person, he will sell the dates on the tree for dry dates in hand, weighed up. But what they will do, they will estimate the amount of the moist dates in the tree at the weight as if they were dried. The dates in the tree, they're moist and they're fresh. They'll estimate the amount of dates that is for sale had they dried. How much would they weigh if they were dry? And then they'll be sold for that amount of dry dates, of that amount of dry dates. Again, this is from al-muzabana, so initially it's haram, but under certain circumstances and with particular conditions, it's lawful in a small amount. It's lawful in a small amount in the case of need. وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ, and also other than that. So the author, he mentioned two narrations with regards to the affair of the issue, the mas'alat al-araya, and the permissibility of that, and the fact that it's exempted. And then he says, and other than that, meaning there's other affairs as well. He mentioned other narrations likewise related to other issues, contrary other issues besides al-araya. And from that, he mentions after this, the issue of selling the trees after they have been pollinated. There's rulings with regards to that. A person, if he's going to sell his trees after they've been pollinated, there's rulings with regards to that. Who deserves the fruits of those trees and who does not deserve them? Does the buyer deserve them or does the seller deserve them? And even the one who pollinated and the like, like this. Details will come in, inshallah, in the next issue after the issue of al-araya. And likewise in this chapter as well, from what is intended, وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ, and other than that, is the issue of selling food and the obligation of transfer of property. If a person, he buys food, he cannot sell the food until he gets his hands on it. He cannot sell it even if he purchased it, but he has to get his hands on it and he has to have complete ownership over it before he's allowed to sell it. This is also from the issues included here in the statement of the author, Bab al-Araya, غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ, the chapter of the affair of the issue of araya and other than that. And likewise, another narration clarifying a number of things that are forbidden to sell and to buy, a number of affairs that are forbidden to sell and to buy. So in this chapter, there are several issues to discuss, narrations that indicate the evidence is related to these different affairs, from the affairs that are forbidden or prohibited and buying and selling. The first issue here is what the author is mentioning, al-araya. So he says, عن زيد بن ثابت رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رخص لصاحب العرية أن يبيعها بخرسها ولمسلم بخرسها تمرا يأكلونها رطبا. So the author, he began the chapter with the narration of Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu. He says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave special permission, rakhassa. He gave special permission, an allowance for the person of the ariyah, the owner of the ariyah, the one who needs that, the one who's selling the ariyah, and yabi'aha bi kharsiha, that it's allowed for him to sell them at the estimated amount. At the estimated amount. The ariya again is the fruits of a tree that from a garden that are still in the tree. He will estimate the weight of them had they dried, and he will sell them for the equal amount of dried dates. So this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave special permission for and allowed that they could be sold for the estimated amount. He mentions here, what a Muslim, in one narration, in one wording by Al-Imam Muslim, بِخَرْسِهَا تَمْرًا يَأْكُلُونَهَا رُطَبًا, that he will make the estimation as if they were dates, meaning that the fresh dates in the tree, the weight will not be weighed as fresh dates, rather the amount that is being sold will be estimated, the weight will be estimated as if they were dried. They will look at this amount, for example, 10 kilos or 10 pounds of dates, and they will say this 10 pounds of dates when they're fresh, if they were dry, they'll be approximately this much or that much. Let's say if they dry, they'll be 8.5 pounds, for example. Then he's guessing this, so he doesn't know for sure. He's saying this amount of dates here that are moist and fresh, if this amount were to dry, it will be this amount. So in exchange for that amount of moist and fresh dates, someone will give him that estimated amount from dry dates in hand. So this here was allowed, and the wisdom is mentioned here, the wording of Muslim. يَأْكُلُونَهَا رُطَبًا. The individual who is actually purchasing them, he will eat the dates while they're moist. And while they're soft and while they're fresh. And in Medina, This is the food of Al-Madina. This is the staple. This is from the staple food of Al-Madina, dates. And this is very popular, and it's very delicious and sweet and good. And the people that eat it often. And also in the times of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, currency was not widely spread and available. Not everyone had their hands on gold and silver and the likes like this. They would do trade by way of the barter system. And one would have an item, and another would have another item, and they would exchange items in this manner. So not everyone would have coins of gold and silver and the likes like this. Not everyone had currency, so on and so forth. So it was very common that they would buy and sell and make trade and commerce with the barter system. One would give an item of something that they have for another item of something else that they're looking for and the likes like this. And they would barter in this manner. So the people in Medina, whenever the dates are ripened and fresh, then the majority of the people, they'll be eating from those fresh dates. They'll be enjoying that and taking pleasure in these nice, fresh, moist, and good dates. And maybe someone who is poor or who is needy and the likes like this, he doesn't have any money, but he still has some dates from last harvest. But they're dried. So he wants to eat along and enjoy himself with his family, eating from the sweet and the fresh new dates like everybody else. So for this need here, it was allowed in a small amount. For the one who's in this need. يأكلونها رطبا. They're eating it. The one who's buying it, he's going to eat it while they're moist and fresh. Meaning he is looking for fresh, moist, good, fresh, and moist dates. This is what he's looking for. But he doesn't have any money. But he has some dates from last harvest that are dried. So then it's allowed for him in this manner to make this barter with the person who owns a orchard or the likes like this or has trees, that he will sell him a certain amount of those moist dates, and they'll be estimated the weight of those dates had they dried. Because we have seen before that dates are from the items that are considered amwal ribawiyah. They're from the items that usury runs through. So if you buy dates, you have to buy them hand in hand and equal amount. This is the means. If you want to sell dates for dates, then it has to be hand in hand, and it has to be an equal amount. Just like if you want to sell gold for gold or silver for silver, it has to be the exact same amount, and it has to be hand in hand transaction. If you sell gold for gold, it has to be the exact same amount, the exact same weight, and the exact same transaction. If you sell a dollar for a dollar, it has to be the exact same amount, and it has to be a transaction hand in hand. We understand this portion here. More details will come when we come to the chapter of Al-Riba, inshaAllah. But this is from the rulings with regards to that. And this here, as we have seen in Muzabana, is from Al-Riba. That's why it's forbidden and prohibited. So initially, if somebody is going to sell dates for dates, they must be hand in hand, and they must be an equivalent amount. In our previous classes, likewise, we had taken a great principle with regards to this. The people of knowledge, as they mentioned, الجهل بالتماثل كالعلم بالتفاضل. That the person, the fact that he does not, the fact that the equality is unknown, if the equal amount is unknown, it takes the same ruling as if the increase or an additional amount is known. For example, if somebody sold $100 for $102, this is clearly an increase. So that's clearly interest. This is usury. This is haram. If somebody sold 1 pound of dates for 1.5 pounds of dates, this is clearly interest. The tafadul is known. The difference in the amount is clearly known. So this is clear usury and haram and not allowed. In the same light, if there were two things and it's not able to identify that they're equal, it takes the same ruling as if one knew that there was an addition. There was an increase. So here this is the case. Initially, this is forbidden. So the dates in the tree that are fresh and moist, whenever they dry, they're going to weigh differently. So there's no way to actually know the exact amount that is being sold in comparison. To take the dry dates and the moist dates and to sell them one for the other, one is not able to determine exactly the equal value. So they're allowed to estimate here. And again, this is in the case of need. And this is also as well for a certain amount. And this is what the next narration the author is referring to from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. He says, "An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rakhasa fi bay al-araya fi khamsati awsuqin aw duna khamsati awsuq." That the author, he mentioned the narration of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave special permission, special allowance to sell the araya for 5 osuq, or less than 5 osuq. For 5 osuq, or less than 5 osuq. Osuq is the plural of wasq, and it's a type of measurement system. And a wasq is sittuna sa'an. Sittuna sa'an, 60 sa'. 60 sa' is 1 wasq. So 5 is 300. 300 sa'. 300 sa. 1 sa' is approximately 2.5 kilo or less. 2 kilo, 2.5 kilo or less, around this. It's a little bit less than 3 kilo. A little bit less than 3 kilo approximately, the people of knowledge they have mentioned. The people of knowledge they have mentioned. So this is the limit. This is the limit that can be sold in this manner. They either 5 osuq or duna 5 osuq, or less than 5 osuq. So here there's a doubt here from the narrator. Was it 5 or was it less than 5? So it must be less than 5, because there's a doubt. So 5 is not certain, but less than 5, they're certain about that. So that's the limit. Anything under 5 is lawful to sell in this manner. Is lawful to sell in this manner. So there are a number of issues here. And narrations likewise to help clarify this affair. From that is that which is collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Jabir radiyallahu anhu. He says that he says, "Naha Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an bay' al-thamr hatta yatib wa la yuba'u shay'un minhu illa bid-dinar wa dirham illa al-araya." This narration has preceded that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade from selling the crops or the fruits on the trees and plants until they're good and ready. Until they're good and ready. And that nothing should be sold from them except with dinar and dirham. Except with dinar and dirham. Except for gold and silver. Except for monetary currency. So if somebody's going to sell the crops and the likes like this, this is the means to sell it. The means to sell it is with currency. Is with currency. Illa al-araya. Except for al-araya. This had proceeded in our previous classes. This is the exception. This is the exception that has been made, any from selling some of those crops for the same type of crops. For the same type of crops. So here in the narration of Zayd ibn Thabit, "Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam rakhasa li sahib al-ariya an yabi'aha bi kharsiha." That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave a special permission, an allowance, for the person who's selling the ariya, that he can sell them for the estimated amount. And again, the estimated amount as if they were dry dates. And this is the estimated amount. Somewhere in another wording, likewise, رَخَصَ فِي الْعَرَايَ أَنْ يُبَاءَ بِخَرْسِهَا كَيْلًا أَنْ يُبَاءَ بِخَرْسِهَا كَيْلًا. And another wording, that this wording was in Bukhari Muslim. And another wording in Sahih Muslim, رَخَصَ فِي الْعَرِيَ يأخذها أهل البيت بخرسها تمرا يأكلونها رطبا يأكلونها رطبا. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he allowed, gave special permission in the issue of the ariya, that the people of a particular household, they would take the estimated amount of that as if they were dates, as if they were dates. بخرسها تمرا بخرسها تمرا. The other wording, بخرسها كيلا. And so that it's weighed up, it's measured up. But how is it measured? It's measured the amount of the moist and fresh dates, the estimated amount as if they were dry. The estimated amount as if they were dry. Again, he says in this narration, likewise, يَأْكُلُونَ هَرُطَبًا. And the household, they will eat them while they're moist and soft. So this is a people, they're looking for fresh dates. These are people who are needy. This is a case, one that's allowed. For people who are needy, they don't have any money to purchase the dates, and the people and the dates are ripe and they're harvesting, and the people in the city, all of them are enjoying these fresh dates and the likes like this, and they want to participate likewise and enjoy as well from the good and fresh dates, but they have no money. But they have no money. And they have no money, but they have dates from the previous year that are dried. So here it's allowed for them. It's allowed for them for this certain amount. That's less than 5 awsuq, yani less than 60 sa'. Less than 60 sa', it's allowed. It's allowed. Anything under 60 sa' is allowed for them. Is allowed for them. So the people who are qualified, they will estimate the amount. He'll say, this is how much I want. And then that amount, they will look into the tree and they'll estimate that. The people who are qualified, and they will be brought down for him, and then they will make the deal. And they will make the deal. But it has to be hand in hand because it's still dates for dates. And the amount that is going to be given from the dry dates has to be known. Has to be known, has to be set. The type has to be known, has to be set, and the likes like this. And then the deal has to be hand in hand, meaning the buyer is going to hand over the dry dates. And the seller, he's going to leave the dates for the buyer to do what he likes with them. To do what he likes with them. He says, these are your dates now. Those right there, this bunch here, or these bunches here, or this tree and that tree, for example, or that which is in this tree here, that's yours. That's yours. He can either take them down or he can leave them for him to take them down, but he'll be left to them to take them as he likes. To take them as he likes. So this is considered at the taqabul, and then the making of the exchange, the hand-in-hand contract. The hand-in-hand contract. So this has to, the hand-in-hand contract has to occur in this transaction. If he said, for example, here, those are yours in the tree, he said, okay, I'll bring you the dry dates later. They're in the house. He said, okay, this is riba. This is riba nasi'a. This is not allowed. The details of this, inshallah, will come. But now we mentioned them briefly. And we mentioned them briefly, and these terms, inshallah, will now not be new whenever we discuss them, inshallah, in more detail. Whenever we discuss them, inshallah, in more detail. So here we have the issue of a tarkhis. Rakhasa an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rakhasa an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil araya. And he gave the tarkhis. The tarkhis, yani a'ta rukhsa. He gave the rukhsa. So the rukhsa is a license, and it's a permission to do something that's initially not allowed. It's a rukhsa. It's a permission to do something that's initially not allowed. So this is from the terms of the people of knowledge they use whenever they discuss the issues of usul al-fiqh. They have al-azima and they have a rukhsa. And just to summarize in very brief detail, the azima is the obligation performed in the manner that's prescribed. Is the obligation performed in the manner that is prescribed. Either it's a commandment to be performed in the manner prescribed, or it's a prohibition that must be avoided in the manner prescribed. And in certain circumstances, the issue will be lightened, and there will be ease in the ruling, and there's a rukhsa, and the rukhsa. So the rukhsa is contrary to that original ruling, and its allowance and permissibility to lighten the affair and to bring facilitation and ease to that initial ruling that is set and must be performed in a proper manner or must be avoided entirely. So there's examples. So there's exceptions. So there's exceptions and an allowance. This is called the rukhsa. For example, for the one who's traveling, he has a rukhsa to shorten his prayer and to combine them. And he has a rukhsa, likewise, to break his fast in the daytime of Ramadan. Initially, fasting in the daytime of Ramadan is azima. It's an obligation. It's an ultimate obligation that must be performed from every sound-minded, healthy Muslim. From every sound-minded, healthy Muslim who is of the age of puberty, he must fast. But there's a rukhsa. There's a license and special permissibility. A license and special permissibility for the one who's traveling. So this is the issue of the rukhsa. So here with regards to the ariyah initially is forbidden, rather it's from the contracts of riba. But here in this certain circumstance, there's a rukhsa. So a rukhsa, yani al-tarkhis, rakhasa an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani rakhasa yurakhisu, rakhis tarkhisan, rakhasa yurakhisu, رخص ترخيصا الترخيص هو التسهيل والتيسير الترخيص هو التسهيل والتيسير to facilitate to make things easy. This is the initial meaning in the Arabic language, I mean the linguistic meaning. This is the linguistic meaning in the Arabic language. The scholars in usul al-fiqh, they will say in a summarized definition, التسهيل والتيسير في أمر ملزم به. التسهيل والتيسير في أمر ملزم به. That is ease and facilitation that will come to an affair that is an ultimate obligation. That is initially an ultimate obligation. Is an ultimate obligation. So the obligations, they are either commandments that must be performed or prohibitions that must be avoided. So there is an affair here that's mulizam bihi, meaning it's an obligation, a mandatory requirement. But here when the rukhsa comes, then ease and facilitation is brought to the situation. So here the rukhsa is for bay al-araya. And this is to sell. Again, this is to sell the dates that are fresh and moist in the tree for dry dates in hand. What will they do? He will say, for example, I have 10 kilo of dry dates. I want the 10 kilos of, I want the equivalent. I want to buy these. I want to use, buy these. I want to buy your dates with these 10 kilos of dry dates. So then they'll look into the tree, the one who has the qualifications, and he'll estimate the amount of those moist dates had they been dried, and they will pull them down and sell, they will sell them to him for this amount here. They will sell them to him for this amount here. So in reality, this is considered al-muzabara. In reality, what they're doing is making al-muzabara. Al-muzabara, that which has proceeded, but this is an exception to the rule and their conditions. But this is an exception to the rule, and there are conditions. There are conditions, and that is that it will be for less than 5 awsuq. Aw duna khamsati awsuq. Duna khamsati awsuq. So the awsuq is the plural of wasq, and the wasq is situna sa', 60 sa'. And the sa' today is 2 kilo and the ruba', 2 kilo and a quarter, 2.25 kilo, any 2.25 kilo approximately. 2.25 kilo approximately. So 5 awsuq will be 675 kilograms. 675 kilograms. This is 5 awsuq. So it has to be less than that. It has to be less than that. 674, for example. 673. Anything under 675 is good. As for 675, then there's a difference of opinion about that because of the doubt of the narrator in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Was it allowed for 5 awsuq or less than 5 awsuq? So 5 awsuq, there's a doubt about that. But less than 5 awsuq, there's no doubt about that. So since this is an issue that's initially forbidden, and there's a license and special permission, then one, he will suffice with that which is certain, and he will leave off that which is doubtful. So 5 awsuq is doubtful, but less than 5 awsuq is certain. So this is the one that will work, that will be applied, and this is the position of the majority of the scholars. This is the position of the majority of the scholars. So this again is a special permission, a special permission. And the fact that it's a special permission, rukhsa, rakhasa Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is an indication that initially it's forbidden. And he's selling the plants, selling the fruits in this manner, initially it is forbidden. And this is from the evidences of that. Not to mention that the Prophet ﷺ naha anil muzabana. We discussed that before. So this is also the evidences clarifying the impermissibility of that. How is the evidence here? What is the evidence clarifying that it's impermissible here? Rahasa an-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Prophet, he gave special permission. He gave special permission. So special permission is only given from something that's forbidden. That's forbidden. There's special permission given here to go on with this contract, meaning initially it's not allowed. Meaning initially it's not allowed. So this is from the evidence is clarifying that. So there's many aspects of how the people of knowledge understand these texts and derive rulings from them. Understand these texts and derive rulings from them. So this text here is a supporting evidence clarifying that this transaction initially is haram. How is that? Because there's special permission being made in this circumstance. So this is something that is a rukhsa. It's allowed in certain circumstances, and it has conditions, and it has legislative conditions. And this is also indicating the flexibility of the legislation and how it observes the different circumstances and needs of the people, the different circumstances and needs of the people. So from the conditions that must be present in order for this transaction to be lawful, number one, hajjatul mushtari li akli arutab. The one who's purchasing them, he must have a need to eat the dates moist, the fresh dates. He has a need to eat the fresh dates, meaning he's someone who's needy, and he is in need of having fresh dates. And again, in Medina, this is the staple food. The people they eat, and even some of them will live off of this for days. They're eating dates, or the common food in the house. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that whoever doesn't have dates in their home, then this is a household that is starving. This is a household that is starving and hungry. Any meaning? Because this is the food of the people of Medina. Everyone in Medina, they're thriving or surviving off of off of dates. So if there are people in Medina who do not have any dates, especially in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَأَهْلُ هَجِيَاءٍ, then these people, they're very hungry. And these people, they are very hungry. So the first condition is that the one who's purchasing these dates in this manner, he's in need of that. He's in need of that. And number two, لَيْسَ عِنْدُهُ نُقُود وَعِنْدُهُ تَمْرٌ جَافٍ. And number two, he doesn't have any cash. He doesn't have any cash. If he had cash, it would not be lawful. Rather, he has to purchase the dates with his cash. But this person, he doesn't have cash. He's in need of eating the fresh dates, and he doesn't have any cash, but he has dry dates. But he has dry dates. This is from the conditions for the permissibility of this particular transaction. When يكون أقل من خمسة أوسق. And likewise, that which is sold from the dates in the tree is less than 5 أوسق. Is less than 5 أوسق. And less than 675 kilo. Less than 675 kilo. 675 kilo is 5 أوسق. So it must be less than that. And in accordance to the position of the majority of the scholars. The fourth condition, التقابض قبل التفرق, that they must exchange items before they separate. Before they separate. And meaning that they make the transaction, and upon making the transaction and they make the agreement, the items must exchange. They must make exchange. And it must be a hand-in-hand contract. How is it a hand-in-hand contract here? The items that are dry, they'll be given to the owner of the tree. They'll be given to the seller, and he will take hold of them. And as for the buyer, then he will be left free to do as he likes with the dates in the tree. They'll be left to him to do as he likes, and he can take them freely as he wills. In this manner, there's taqabul. Taqabul really means hand in hand. Taqabul means hand in hand. You give and he takes. You give and he takes. So certain contracts, they have to be like this, hand in hand. Hand in hand, meaning the exchange has to happen at the time of the contract. There cannot be any delayed payment whatsoever. This is called a taqabud. A taqabud. So this is an important issue in the chapter of buying and selling. Some transactions like this one, it must be hand in hand. And number five, in tukhras, bima ta'ulu ilayhi tamran, that the amount will be estimated as if these dates were dry. And if this amount were dry. So the amount that is fresh, you don't weigh the fresh amount. Rather, you estimate those fresh ones, how much they will weigh if they had dried. How much they would weigh if they had dried. And this is the amount that one he will give. And because he has dry dates. So how many dry dates would he give? They'll look at the fresh dates. And the people who are qualified will say, these fresh dates here in the tree, when they dry, there'll be approximately such and such amount. So then you say, okay, here you go. Here's that amount. Here's that amount in dry dates. And then the transaction is valid. And then the transaction is valid. Alhamdulillah. So also in this narration, we see an evidence for another principle. قَائِدَ الشَّرْعِيَّ مَا حُرِّمَ تَحْرِيمُ الْوَسَائِلِ فَإِنَّهُ يُبَاحُ عِنْدَ الْحَاجَ وَالْمَصْلَحَةِ الرَّاجِحَةِ, that things, there's a principle in the legislation that something that's forbidden as a means, it's not initially forbidden itself because of itself, but rather it's forbidden because of what it leads to. Some things are forbidden for themselves, that the actual action is forbidden. For example, zina, what you have the bila, fornication is forbidden. But there are other things likewise that are forbidden, not for themselves, but because they lead to zina. Allah, He says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, do not come near zina. And then we'll order to lower our gazes, the male and the females alike. The male and the females alike. And also we're forbidden from mixing. And the Prophet ﷺ forbade from a man and woman who are strangers to be alone together. And the likes like this. All of this, the prohibition of these affairs is not for that affair itself, but because of what it may lead to. See, these things, they're called, and this is a tahrim al-wasail. Tahrim al-wasail. And these are the means that are forbidden. There's the means that are forbidden. So there's things that are muharrama lidhatiha. Lidhatiha. These things that are there themselves, they're forbidden. And then there are things that lead to those things that are also forbidden. That are also forbidden. So we're talking about this here. It's another principle that people have not, as I mentioned, said, they call it sad al-dhara'i. Sad al-dhara'i. Al-dhara'i is the plural of dhari'ah. And the dhari'ah is the wasila. سد الذرائع يعني سد الوساء يعني blocking the avenues that lead to haram. That's the meaning. So there are certain things that are haram not because of themselves, they're not considered actually filthy or foul itself, but what it leads to. It leads to a foul and lowly way. So therefore, likewise, it's forbidden. So these things that are forbidden, not initially for their own self, but rather because of what they lead to, and certain circumstances, like cases of need, or whenever there is overpowering benefit or a greater benefit, then in these cases they'll become lawful. Initially, the araya is from muzabana, and muzabana is forbidden. Why is it forbidden? Because it leads to usury. It leads to usury. If you make muzabana, if you sell the fresh crops in the tree for the same crops at hand that are dried, then this is going to lead to usury. Going to lead to usury because you're not able to identify the equal amount. So therefore it's forbidden in order to block the pathway leading to usury. This is what we're discussing now. But here in this circumstance, whenever there's a need and a greater benefit for this particular individual in this particular situation, it becomes lawful. So this is something that is a principle, and it's also very beneficial. To know and to learn the principles of the religion and the principles in jurisprudence. So Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah, in Zad al-Ma'ad, he says, قَاعِدَةُ بَابْ سَدْ الذَّرَائِ إِذَا أَعْرَضَهُ مَصْلَحَةٌ رَاجِحَةٌ قُدِّمَتْ عَلَيْهِ. That the principle with regards to the things that are forbidden, and he's stopping the avenues that lead to haram, things that are forbidden from this aspect because they lead to haram, that if they're in opposition to a greater benefit, then the greater benefit is shown precedence in that circumstance. This is not left up for the people and the laymen to use as they like, and the likes like this. And many people, they misunderstand these affairs, or they apply them inappropriately and the likes like this and follow their desires. But this is an established principle in the ruling. The people of knowledge, they're aware of. And rulings are established based upon these affairs, stemming from this principle, or so that we can understand. For example, the impermissibility of a man looking at the non-mahram, or the man touching the non-mahram, and the like. This is forbidden. This is forbidden for a man to look at a woman, for her to raise her arm, or for her to raise her skirt, and to look at her leg, for example. This is forbidden for a man to do that. Why? Because of what it leads to. Do not come close to it, because this is from the means that leads to a fornication. So it's forbidden because of what it leads to. But if there is a woman who's sick, and there's only a male doctor that's not from her mahadim, and she needs treatment, at this time, in this circumstance, it becomes lawful for him to treat her, and to look at that which normally is forbidden, and to touch that which is normally forbidden. You understand? So this now initially is forbidden, but not allowed. But in a certain circumstance or certain situation, it could become permissible because of the need. So if there is a doctor, there is a woman, for example, and she needs treatment, and there's no doctor, there's no one except a male doctor who's qualified or available for that treatment, in this case it's allowed. Also, we shouldn't take these affairs lightly. In America, alhamdulillah, if a person, he stands up for himself and his family and tells the people, we need a female doctor. Some people, they're scared or they're cowards and the likes like this, and they're self-defeated, and they go to the doctor and they just let them do it. No, if you just tell the doctor, we're Muslims and we need a female doctor. You can just ask for a female doctor in the first place, for a woman, for example. I need a female doctor for my daughter. You have a female dentist, and if they try to say something, you tell them it's my religion. In my religion, this is something that is not allowed for the strange men to be alone or in contact and the likes with our women. So if they initially don't do it, then you just let them know this is a religious affair, and then they will comply. This is the way of America, alhamdulillah. So we shouldn't be afraid, or we shouldn't be any scared in the likes like this. And we shouldn't try to use this principle here to follow our desires or to back down or to be weak in the likes like this. That's not what is intended. So these officials, these affairs here, they have their application. They have their application, but the situations, they must be proper. And they're not applied absolutely. They're not applied absolutely. So initially, these things are forbidden and haram and not allowed. But in certain circumstances, in certain cases, they will be lawful. They will be lawful. Some of the people of knowledge likewise mentioned the issue of the issue of the witness, and as well the issue of the one who is seeking marriage. Initially, it's not allowed for them to look, but in this circumstance, it's allowed under certain situations with certain conditions. So here we have the narration of Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu. He's Zayd ibn Thabit al-Ansari al-Khazraji, Abu Sa'id, also has been mentioned his kunya Abu Kharija. Abu Sa'id, wa yuqal Abu Kharija. Wurida qabla al-Hijra bi 11 sana. He was born before the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by 11 years. فَلَمَّا هَاجَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَسْلَمَ. Whenever the Prophet, he migrated, he accepted Islam. Whenever the Prophet, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he migrated to Medina, he accepted al-Islam. And meaning that he accepted al-Islam while he was a young boy, at the age of 11. And also he was مِنْ كَتَبَةِ الْوَحْيِ كَانَ كَاتِبًا لِلْوَحْيِ. He was from those who, he was from the scribes. He used to write for the Prophet, صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he would write the revelation. And he would write the revelation. تَعَلَّمَ الْخَطْ الْعَرَبِي وَالْخَطْ الْعِبْرَانِي. He learned how to write Arabic, and likewise, he learned how to write Hebrew. And it's been narrated from him in Sunan Abi Dawood that he said, رضي الله عنه, أَمَرَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَتَعَلَّمْتُ لَهُ كِتَابَ الْيَهُودِ. أَمَرَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَتَعَلَّمْتُ لَهُ كِتَابَ الْيَهُودِ. That the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered me, and so I learned the language of the Jews. I learned the language of the Jews. وَقَالَ إِنِّي وَاللَّهِ لَا آمَنُ يَهُودَ عَلَى كِتَابِي. He said, I swear by Allah, I do not trust the Jews in my writings. I do not trust the Jews in my writings. And he meaning that if the Jews, they come with some contract or some writings with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he does not trust them that they will read it properly or that they will clarify it correctly. Or if he wants to write something for them and one of them writes for him, he doesn't trust them that they will write exactly what he's telling them. He's afraid that they will act treacherous, which is something that is known from them. So therefore he ordered Zayd to learn how to write and speak their language. He says, فَتَعْلَمْتُهُ فَلَمْ يَمُرَّ بِي نِسْفُ شَهْرٍ حَتَّى حَدَقْتُهُ. He said, so I learned how to write their language, and not even a half of a month passed by until I mastered their language. Not even a half of a month passed by until I mastered their language. فَكُنْتُ أَكْتُوبُهُ فَكُنْتُ أَكْتُوبُ لَهُ إِذَا كَتَبَ وَأَقْرَأُ لَهُ إِذَا كُتِبَ إِلَيْهِ. So I used to write for him whenever he needed to write, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I would read for him whenever it was written to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَكَانَ زَيْدِ بْنْ ثَابِرْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَاطِينًا ذَكِيًّا إِمَامًا فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَإِمَامًا فِي الْفَرَائِضِ. That he was very bright and very clever. He was very smart, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He was an imam in the Qur'an, imam in the recitation of the Qur'an, and likewise an imam in the laws of inheritance, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. It's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about him, wa afradukum Zayd ibn Thabit. The one who has the most knowledge of you about the laws of inheritance is Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu. Rawa an an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa arada alayhi al-Quran. He narrated a number of narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and recited the Quran to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yuqalu innahu shahida al-arda. It's mentioned that Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu, he witnessed or he was there reciting to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam after the last presentation that the Prophet recited to Jibreel. And it's known that Jibreel, he would come in Ramadan and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recite to the Quran, the portion that he had that had been revealed until that Ramadan, he would recite it in entirety to Jibreel in review, making mudhakara, reviewing and the likes like this. In the last year, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited it to him twice. So this was the final review with Jibreel of that which was revealed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's mentioned that Zayd, he learned and he was aware of this particular recitation, which is the final recitation, and some things before that were abrogated and the likes like that. So this was the last time that it was recited and finalized with Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam and Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. He had knowledge of that. Wallahu alam. And also Rawa Aylan and Abi Bakr wa Umar wa ghayrihim. And he narrated also an Abi Bakr wa Umar. And Zayd ibn Thabit, he narrated as well an Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. Wa shahida al-Khandaq. وَشَاهِدَ الْخَنْدَقْ وَمَا بَعْدَهَا. And he attended the battle of the trench and the battles that occurred after that likewise. And it's been connected by al-Bukhari that he says, فَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. In a long narration, he says, فَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. In a long narration, whenever they're encouraging, whenever they're thinking about gathering the Qur'an and writing it down, whenever this was presented to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the likes, he came to Zayd. He said, إِنَّكَ رَجُلٌ شَابٌ عَاقِرٌ لَا نَتَّهِمُكَ كُنْتَ تَكْتُبُ الْوَحْيَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَتَتَبَّعَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاجْمَعَهُ. He said, Abu Bakr came to him and said, indeed, you are a young man. You have a sound mind. And we do not accuse you of any foul or bad ways. And you used to write the revelation for the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So follow up the Qur'an. Follow up the Qur'an and write it down. Gather it all together and write it down. So he said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْ كَلَّفَنِي نَقْلَ جَبْرٍ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ مَا كَانَ أَثْقَلَ عَلَيَّ مِمَّا أَمَرَنِي بِهِ مِنْ جَمْعِ الْقُرْآنِ. He said, I swear by Allah that if they had entrusted me to move a mountain, that it would not have been heavier than what they had entrusted, than what they ordered me to do from gathering the Qur'an and writing it down. I mean, this is a long narration, and there's more to the narration, but the point is that he was chosen and selected by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to be the one to gather the Qur'an and to write it down. To gather the Qur'an and write it down, and this is indication of his high and lofty status and his knowledge, especially with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِذَا حَجَّ إِسْتَخْلَفَهُ عَلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. Whenever Umar, he would make hajj in his khilafah, he would leave Zayd ibn Thabit in charge as the governor over al-Madinah. Likewise, in fi ahdi Uthman رضي الله عنه عهد إليه Uthman مع ثلاثة نفر من قريش لجمع القرآن لتوحيده في مصحف واحد. And in the khilafah of Uthman رضي الله عنه, he had entrusted Zayd and three others from Quraysh to gather the Quran in order to make the mushaf one. And he under the recitation of Quraysh, under the recitation of Quraysh. And وكان ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما ينتظره عند بابه. And it's mentioned that Ibn Abbas, he would wait for Zayd to come out of his home and his doorstep to seek knowledge and to learn from him. And likewise, whenever Zayd ibn Thabit, one time he's going to ride on his animal, Ibn Abbas and رضي الله عنه, he grabbed his stirrup, the place for his foot to help him onto his animal and to assist him in riding on his animal. Whenever he asked him about that, he said, هكذا أمرنا أن نفعل بعلمائنا. Ibn Abbas, he told Zayd ibn Thabit, like this, we were ordered to treat our scholars. In this manner, we were ordered to treat our scholars. And whenever Zayd, he died, radiallahu anhu, جلس ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, في الظل. وقال, هذا ذهب العلماء, دفن اليوم علم كثير. He said, sitting in the shade after Zayd ibn Thabit had passed, radiallahu anhu, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he says, The scholars have gone. He said, and today a vast amount of knowledge has been buried. And today a vast amount of knowledge has been buried. وَقَالَ مَسْرُوكَ كَانَ مِنَ الرَّاسِخِينَ فِي الْعِلْمِ كَانَ فِي الرَّاسِخِ مِنَ الرَّاسِخِينَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. مَسْرُوكَ, he said that Zayd, he was from those firmly grounded in knowledge. تُوفِيَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ فِي سَنَةِ خَمْسٍ وَأَرْبَعِينَ. He died in the Medina in the year 45 رضي الله عنه. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.